Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Mutation by A.L. Masters, narrated by Gary Bennett. Chapter 1. The Attack. Jared. The world was strangely silent as Jared drove. He couldn't stop thinking about the nuclear sirens, the fire in the sky, and the fact that his sister was in a heavily populated major city. He didn't know if Nashville was targeted. He didn't even know how he would find out. The recent events just kept running on repeat through his head. He could hear Anna comforting Stuart in the back seat. Stuart was one hardcore motherfucker. Jared wasn't sure he would be quite so self-contained if he had a chunk taken out of his leg. He glanced over at Bradley. The man was frowning fiercely. He was obviously thinking hard about something. "So, we need to find a shelter, right? Underground?" he asked.
"I think that would be best. Honestly, I don't know if those missiles were nuclear-armed or not. I'm not familiar with nuclear weapons. The only training I ever had on the subject was a quick class in the desert, and that was mostly concentrated on chemical attacks," he said. He gritted his teeth. The world was really screwing them over. The damned governments couldn't just be satisfied with just releasing some fucked-up virus that turned people insane. They had to go ahead and add nukes on top of everything else. They should have never been allowed to go so far. Too late now. It was all too late.
"I have a feeling those were our own missiles that hit us," Bradley said. "I think they're trying to take out the cities with the densest clusters of biters."
"Our own people are bombing us?" Anna said from the back. He thought he heard the slightest waver in her voice. Jared looked in the rearview. She looked shocked, pale, and scared. He tightened his fists on the steering wheel. His feelings for her were overwhelming sometimes. He had hidden them for so long. So damned long. The fact that she had been living in a state of almost constant fear this last week ate at his heart and made his gut clench. He had spent the last 2 years trying to make her happy at the office. He was the joker, the clown. He made jokes to cover up his feelings and to make her laugh. Her smile could light up a room, and her laugh was like a drug. The truth was that he hadn't felt that he was good enough for her. He wasn't a good man. He knew she was lonely and sad sometimes. He had gotten close to her the only way he could, as her friend. He had wanted it to be enough. Then life had thrown them the biggest fucking curveball in existence. None of that mattered now. She didn't need him to be a good man. She needed a strong one, a capable one. He could be that for her. "I'm sure they warned people," he told her. "Liar." She nodded, and the little line between her eyebrows faded. He couldn't bear to put more grief on her shoulders. She was a fighter, and she would have to fight more, but he would take away whatever pain he could. "What about the chickens?" she asked. That was so her, thinking of the welfare of the animals.
"I think they'll be fine. They've got that trough of water and enough bugs and stuff to eat," he said.
"Chickens?"
Fletch asked. His young face was tired and drawn. They all looked like they had been through hell.
"There's a flock at the place we got this SUV," Anna told him.
"The place where the biter was?" Bradley asked.
"The place where the mutant biter was," Jared clarified.
"That worries me," Bradley confessed. "I'm thinking there are more of those things than we thought. Stuart and I saw two on the interstate, at a pileup. They were crouched up under an overpass. We were going too fast for them to get us, but, man, they were fast."
"I've been thinking about something. Maybe it's stupid," Anna said, leaning toward the front.
"Babe, there are mutant people that can camouflage their skin running around. I don't think anything you can say regarding them would be stupid."
"Well, I was thinking about them gathering around the armory at night, and then going away in the day."
She paused, and Jared glanced over at her.
"Go on," Bradley said.
"I think they are maturing, or developing."
"What do you mean, maturing?" Fletch asked.
Jared was pretty sure that he knew exactly what she meant.
"I think they can see in the dark, like, like an owl or a cat or something.
Oh, wow.
Fletch sat back in silence. Jerry considered the ramifications of those mutant things developing the ability to see in the dark. Their eyes.
Their eyes, he said aloud.
What about them? Bradley asked.
Nocturnal animals have different eyes, owls and cats, for instance. They have bigger pupils, which help them see well at night. But these things don't. They have...
Snake eyes, Anna interrupted.
Bradley swore.
You know what that means, right? It means that if they are similar to snakes, then they can sense heat signatures. They can see us in the dark, even when we're hiding.
That's horrifying. But I think we need to stop talking and let Jared drive faster now, Fletch said from the back.
Why? Bradley said, suddenly alert.
Because Stuart has a high fever, and there's a storm coming.
Jared concentrated on the highway, letting off the accelerator on the curves and punching it again on the straightaways. They needed to get Stuart home, and they needed to get everyone in the basement. He looked in the rearview mirror again, bypassing Stuart's pale face, and looked out the rear window. It was tinted, but the clouds gathered, black and furious in the distance. What he wouldn't give for a weather radar app right now. He figured the internet could still be up, but his cell phone was long gone, probably left at the office. He knew general weather patterns, air currents, and direction of travel were easy, but he didn't know how far any fallout would travel, or how long they would have to batten down the hatches, so to speak.
The rain is going to clear the radioactive particles from the air, Bradley said to him quietly.
Yep.
They're going to come down on us.
Yep, Jared answered again. How long do we have? Anna asked. He hadn't known she was listening. He met her eyes in the mirror before looking back at the road. They would be coming to the overrun town soon. He had to slow down now.
A few hours, maybe, depending on which cities they hit. We don't know if there even is any fallout. Remember that we're just being safe.
She nodded and turned to look out the window. Jared saw the old ramshackle barn in the distance. It marked the boundary to town. So far it was clear.
Take it through slow and steady, Bradley said.
Jared raised an eyebrow but didn't say anything. As if he needed anyone to tell him how to drive through an infested town. He'd been sitting in the armory for days. He and Dana were the ones doing all the traveling. It wasn't the time for smart-ass comments, though. He'd save them for later when they were home. The town looked virtually the same as when they had plowed through the first time, except for the body parts on the road.
Watch the femurs, Anna said with a hint of a smile.
What about the ulnas? He joked.
Watch those too.
He swerved gently around the few bones that were left lying in the road and wondered where everyone was.
Oh, shit, Fletcher yelled. Tangos, 3 o'clock.
It took him a second to figure out what Fletch was talking about. He looked to his right down a small side street and tamped down his panic. There was no reason to panic. They weren't blocked in. Yet.
Oh my God, there are so many of them,
Anna cried out from the back. He could tell by the higher pitch of her voice that she was freaked out. He didn't blame her. The pack of biters they had left here before was nothing compared to the horde of mutants headed toward them now. For one thing, their numbers had swelled. For another, they had... changed? In 24 hours? Or are these new ones? He caught a glimpse of them as they drove, but he needed to keep his eyes to the front. If they wrecked, they would all be dead for sure. Alone, they were bad enough, but in a cluster, they were truly frightening. Teeth bared, mouths gaping, they ran toward the SUV. Their skins were strangely mixed, some blending in with those behind, some gleaming dully gray in the overcast sky. Their clothing flapped behind them, some tattered and some still serviceable. He swore he saw one dressed as a surgeon, which was creepy as fuck. They vibrated with anger, twitching so rapidly and jerking so violently that he wasn't sure how they managed to stay on their feet. It made their movements unpredictable and more dangerous. It gave them an odd flipbook illusion. They sprinted abnormally fast, inhumanly fast. Their long fingers scrabbled in the air as if they were already envisioning tearing them apart. Stuart moaned then.
Go, Jared. Go faster, Bradley yelled.
I am. I'm trying to get us home in one piece,
Jared shouted.
Not funny, Stuart moaned from the back.
I wasn't making a joke,
he said, incredulous. Anna took her attention from the mutants chasing them to raise an eyebrow at him skeptically.
What? I wasn't, he insisted.
Watch the corner,
Bradley yelled as they approached the corner where Aunt Molly used to peddle her pies. A small cluster of normal biters ran out into the road, and he couldn't avoid hitting them. Jared gritted his teeth as the SUV collided with the bodies. It felt like hitting three deer at once. That couldn't be good for the truck. They bumped over the corpses, and Stuart cried out at the jolt.
They weren't even trying to get at us, Anna said, confused. They just ran into the road.
Jared gunned the engine once again, glad to be out of the little town. Now they just had to get through Oak Grove quickly. The drive back through the long, deserted highway was less eventful than their first trip. The SUV didn't overheat, and he didn't see any more biters, mutant or otherwise.
That was your truck? Bradley asked as they passed his old pickup.
Yep, radiator hose is shot.
Did you get everything out of it?
Yeah. Except the 73 oatmeal cookie wrappers under the seat, Anna murmured.
Jared squinted at her threateningly in the rearview mirror, but she just raised her chin in the air, a little grin at the corner of her mouth. It was good to know that the threat of nukes hadn't stolen her sense of humor. That was one of the things he loved about her. She just got him. He started slowing down when they reached the very outskirts of Oak Grove.
Why are you slowing? We need to keep moving, man. The wind is kicking up, Bradley said.
We could keep going, but I'm pretty sure the Viking snipers would take us out long before we smashed into their dump truck, he told Bradley.
The look on Bradley's face was priceless.
Are you okay? Bradley asked.
Jared jutted his chin out to the front, and Bradley followed his gesture.
Ambush? Fletch called out from the back seat. No, just a barrier, Anna said. They let us through the last time.
Jared stopped. Men and women did not materialize from the woods this time. They waited. Jared anxiously tapped the steering wheel. He hadn't expected this. He peered carefully into the trees, wondering if anyone was watching them.
Jared?
I don't know where they are, Jared said in response to Anna's unspoken question.
What are you guys talking about?
Bradley said, exasperated.
The people who live here. They moved the dump truck last time.
I don't see them. Jared made a quick decision. He jumped out of the SUV, left the door open, and ran to the dump truck. He expected a gunshot with every step.
Jared!
He heard Anna call out. He didn't stop. They didn't have time. He climbed into the 40-year-old truck and looked at the ignition. The keys weren't there.
Son of a bitch.
He popped open the glove compartment and rustled through the old papers.
Keys.
He snagged them and thrust the likeliest-looking one into the ignition. When the engine turned over, he slammed the transmission into reverse and backed out of the road enough so they could get through. He turned the truck off, but left the keys in the ignition for Sten, wherever he was. He left and ran back to the SUV. The wind blew in his face, and he heard the thunder off in the distance. It was faint, and it was far away still. But it was there, and it was coming. He took off again, peeling out around the front of the dump truck and hoping no kids were in the street beyond. He needn't have worried. When he got beyond the dump truck, he saw that nobody was out. The roads were empty of pedestrians and animals. No kids roamed the yards. No mothers carried babies around on their hips. No armed men that he could see. He wondered if they had a bunker somewhere. Maybe they heard the siren and holed up underground. He hoped so. He didn't want to think that something had happened to all the people here. He drove over the chalk-covered roads, straining to see anything that might leap into his path. The gas station and markets were closed up tight. He could see Bradley's curiosity, but it would have to wait.
This is the Viking community? Bradley asked.
They aren't really Vikings, Anna said. Jared just likes to call them that.
Actually, they are, Jared said to Bradley, dismissing Anna's comment.
They're regular people, Jared.
Are you saying Vikings aren't regular people? That's pretty racist.
No, but they are heavily armed, They are Norwegians. They wear Viking jewelry. They carry battle axes, Jared argued, ticking off the points on his spare hand. It was one axe. One, she said. They all have long hair and beards, he said. So do you, Anna retorted. You can't change my mind, Jared said. She huffed, and he gave her a wink. I don't know why I put up with you, she said. Because you love me? She sighed. True.
You done now? Bradley asked.
Yes, I need you to do me a favor.
All right, Bradley said warily.
Get me the radio out from under your seat. Bradley bent down and shuffled his hand under the seat. He came up with the radio and handed it to Jared. Jared set it in his lap. The RHCDL gave it to us. I want to warn them when we get into range, Jared said.
They probably already know.
I just want to make sure. Bradley nodded. Chapter 2. Going Underground. Anna. Well, town still exists, Jared said as they made it to the intersection. At least until Jimmy Dawn breaks into the rock quarry and finds the dynamite. She rolled her eyes and checked Stuart again. He was still burning up. She had been wetting a piece of cloth and wiping his forehead and neck, but he was barely responding. They needed to get him home soon. She looked around as Jared attempted to make contact with the Rolling Hills Civil Defense League. Captain Anderson, this is Hercules. Over. Jared and his freaking radio call sign obsession. She bit back her sarcastic comment and they waited. She felt her pulse race as the seconds sped by. Captain Anderson, this is Hercules. Over. No response. Jared sighed in defeat. Okay, okay. Captain Anderson, this is Jared. Over. Silence. I really thought that would do it, Jared said. Do you think something happened to them? She asked him.
I think it's likely that they went underground, if they are as prepared as you say, Bradley added. Probably don't have an antenna up yet.
Yeah, well, we can't wait around. We have to go underground too, Jared said. She licked her lips. They were dry and she really wanted a drink, but she gave Stuart the last of it. Do you think it's weird that Sten's people and the Rolling Hills people are gone? No, I think it's weird that we aren't, he replied. They were back on the road, and only a few minutes from Jared's. She was suddenly aware that they hadn't gotten Kate and brought her back. The whole reason for the mission, and instead of bringing her back, they were bringing his mother bad news. It felt like she had been awake for days, weeks. They rolled up the driveway, and she was relieved to see that everything looked exactly like they had left it. Jared's house was still safe. Get Stuart down to the basement, then come to the garage, Jared told the men. Anna got out and followed him. He unloaded the little gear they had left in the SUV into the laundry room floor, where the interior door was. She got a bottle of water from the dark fridge. It was barely cool, and noticed the mess. Dishes and utensils were scattered. Cabinets had been flung open and ransacked. The pantry door was ajar, and she opened it slowly. Flashbacks of Gina ran through her head, and she jerked her eyes up to the ceiling. There was nothing crouched up in the corner, but most of the food was gone. Juan? She called. Silence. Basement? She approached the doorway to the basement warily. She stopped before opening it. She felt apprehension work its way up her spine. Where is everyone? Jared called. She turned and frowned. Maybe the basement, but I don't know. What if something happened? She didn't want to bring up the fact that his mom had been sick. What if she had turned and killed everyone? What if she was a mutant? Perhaps she was going in the wrong direction with her hypothesis. What if someone had robbed them and kidnapped everyone? Stay here, Jared said, just as Bradley and Fletch came in carrying a limp Stuart between them. What's going on? Bradley asked, looking at her.
Everyone is gone, she shrugged worriedly.
Shit, he sighed. He laid Stuart down on the couch for Fletch to watch and followed Jared down the steps. The steps were wooden and steep, and the bottom was concrete. She watched as Jared knocked on the basement door. His knuckles made barely a sound, and she realized that the door was rock solid. After an interminable time, the sound of heavy bolts being thrown back resounded through the dark hallway. The door opened.
"Jared, I hope that's you, man,"
came Juan's accented English. "What if it's not?" Jared said, pulling the door open. "You're going to hit me with a..." He squinted and nodded his head towards something Juan was holding.
"An extension cord? Hey, man, this thing is heavy. My cousin Benito used to use one just like it to keep the bulls in line," he said. "Plus, I have this in case the cord didn't incapacitate you."
"A sharp stick? And remind me to never ask you what Benito does," Jared said and waved toward Anna.
"Bring Stuart down," he called up to them.
"It's actually your mop. I sharpened it," Juan confided, and Jared looked up at her with a familiar look. It was his, "I want to say something so bad, but I won't," face. Jared came back up and they took Stuart downstairs. Anna followed Jared out to the garage. She watched curiously as he unlocked the large doors in the back.
"I want the stuff cleared out and put in the basement in 10 minutes. Can you work on this while I go find some other things?"
"Yes, sir," she said sarcastically, looking at all the mysterious things. "I prefer you to call me Master."
"How about Master Blaster?" she retorted.
"I want to make a sexual joke so bad right now," he said.
"Save it for later."
He left, and she loaded her arms with boxes. Some were almost identical to the ones Stuart had given them back at the first armory. She knew they contained MREs. She stacked them at the top of the basement steps for someone to carry down. She worked her way to the back of the storage closet, and the stuff got heavier. Large metal cans lined the walls in the back. There must have been 20 of them, at least. She tried to pick one up, and failed miserably.
"Let us get those," Jared said, coming back with rolls of tarp and tape.
"Why do you have all that?" she asked quickly.
"My dates used to get pretty crazy," he said, then handed her the stuff.
"Here, cover all the windows and doors with tarps. Duct tape them around the insides. Use as much as you need to cover them well."
"And this will help with the fallout stuff?" she asked skeptically.
"It will help keep particles from coming in. If there are particles. We don't know. I think it will work. I saw it on a movie."
"Of course you did."
She covered and taped, covered and taped. She didn't realize how many doors and windows he had until she was tasked with taping them up. She passed Bradley, Juan, and Fletcher carrying large containers of water downstairs. Hank had his arms full of the mattress from Jared's bedroom. He'd already gotten the one from the guest room. She had the sinking feeling that they would be in the basement for a while. She hoped they would be safe there. Jared walked through with an armload of rifles, and she did a double take.
An armload of rifles?
10 minutes later, their time was up. Through the last window, she saw the clouds roiling darkly overhead. They'd come from the west, where several major cities had presumably just been nuked. The sound of that siren was something she would never forget. Jared was the last in, and he shut the door behind them with a heavy clank. It sounded like a prison, but it was also reassuring. This was the first time seeing the basement, and she was kind of amazed. Jared obviously had hobbies that she never expected. Right inside the door was a strange little walled-in walkway that they passed through. It was a cinder block wall from floor to ceiling that turned at a 90-degree angle, then again. It must have been difficult to bring the mattress through that.
"Wow," she said as she passed into the open space.
She walked to the wall of white buckets and touched one lightly.
"What is all this?"
Everyone was down there settling in. Jared came up and slung his arm around her waist and pulled her over to a cot. She sat gratefully, exhausted from everything.
"That's rice."
Her mouth dropped open and she gave him an incredulous look.
"That's rice?"
"It was when I put it in there. I suppose it could have morphed into spaghetti noodles, but..."
"You have buckets of rice, and you made fun of me for my cans of beans."
He wrinkled his forehead at her outburst.
"I made fun of you because you hoard only one kind of bean. Who does that?"
"Rice, Jared." She threw her arm out toward the rice bucket wall. "Yeah, but that is all different kinds of rice, and some oatmeal, and some other stuff." He didn't get it. She sighed and rubbed her head. A headache was making itself known.
"So, you are a food hoarder too. I should have known,"
We have more in common than we thought, he said with a grin. She looked around the large space. The basement looked to be as big as the house above. There were no windows. She never would have guessed that there was even a basement here, except that he joked about it that first day. The bathroom's over there. It's a composting toilet. I'm sure everyone has figured out how to use it by now, he said. The vent is partially covered, but I'm not sure having an open airway is a good idea.
Too late now. We'll just have to keep that door shut and go in there as little as possible, Bradley said from another cot.
Whoever knew you could put an outhouse in a basement, Violet said from a rocking chair nearby. She looked to be knitting something. Anna smiled, but it died when she caught a look from Jared's mom. She looked devastated. How could she be so inconsiderate to smile at anything when Enid still didn't know her daughter's fate? She watched as Jared went over to her and knelt. He whispered in her ear, and her face crumpled. Anna turned away to give her some privacy in her grief. Hank came over and sat nearby.
How was it out there?
Rough. There are more of those mutant things. They're changing, Hank. They're changing fast, I think.
He nodded. Seems like it isn't real, doesn't it? Like this is all some kind of television show.
Yeah, kind of.
I imagine that there's going to be all sorts of things we're going to have to face up to. I never thought I'd live to see any kind of nuclear war, he said.
I don't think it's actually a war, she said skeptically.
It's a war, he said matter-of-factly. It's a war between us and those things out there. He pointed up. They've started bombing our own cities. That tells me that they've lost control of the country. Scorched earth, Bradley broke in from across the room.
Everyone stopped talking and looked at him in the eerie lantern light.
Yep, Hank said.
What's scorched earth? She asked.
Jared was the one who answered, and it lacked his usual twist of humor.
It's when they destroy anything that the enemy can use. In this case, it also means destroying cities. People. Isn't that against the Geneva Conventions?
Bradley nodded at her.
The Geneva Conventions are dead. They can do whatever they want to without repercussion.
So where will they stop?
Juan asked him quietly. Alejandro was sleeping soundly in his lap.
They won't stop,
Stuart murmured from a mattress on the floor near the corner. Anna slipped from the cot and walked over to him. She knelt carefully to avoid jostling him and placed her hand on his head. He seemed a bit cooler. The meds must have been helping a little.
How do you feel?
Like I had a chunk ripped out of my leg by a crazy person.
She smiled. I'll need to change the bandage soon.
Bradley will do it, he said,
and she was a little relieved. She didn't know if she could bear to look at the damage. She helped him drink some water and then went back over to the others.
So, what do we do now?
She asked aloud.
We wait, Jared said.
Overhead, thunder boomed ferociously. Chapter 3. In the Dark. Jared. He knew there was enough food and water down here for them all to last a while. They didn't need to worry about that. He wasn't too sure if the place was protected, though. He started building this place on a whim one day after watching an old nuclear war movie. It was meant as more of a preparedness thing and a hobby. He enjoyed doing the research on building techniques and then outfitting it. He never expected to use it for a nuclear bomb. He especially never expected Anna to be in it with him, or all the rest of the people. He sipped his water and contemplated their next move. He was a little lost. Their main goal was going to be survival. Just survive. It was going to be easier said than done. Not only did they have to deal with crazy-ass freaks with thermal vision running around, but they may also have to deal with nuclear fallout. It was scary as hell. He was worried about Stuart, too. He wasn't doing well. He didn't know if what those things had was contagious. What if Stu turned crazy one night while they were sleeping? What if he died down here? They'd be stuck with his corpse. He hoped those things wouldn't happen. He liked Stuart a hell of a lot. He was a good guy and had some badass skills that they were probably going to need. Hey, he heard Anna say. He felt her hand on
Sample complete. Ready to continue?